Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So consider the predicament of Greece for a moment. So last year, the economy of Greece contracted 4.5%. It's forecast to shrink an additional 3% this year. And all of that bears directly on the debt financing that Greece has used to pay its bills. And some have called those bills profligate spending, which the government is attempting to get control of. There's a confidence vote, another crucial confidence vote for embattled Prime Minister George Papandreou expected today. Meanwhile, the European Central Bank contemplating what to do about a Greek default because it affects the entire euro community and some have described this as sort of Medea, the Greek tragedy, meeting Gotterdammerung, the Wagnerian opera. Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, joins us in studio. And Steve Evans, BBC correspondent in Berlin, who's been at a meeting with the EU finance ministers this week. Steve, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So what is the vulnerability of countries like France and Germany to protect the euro from a default, which is looking increasingly likely in Greece?
It's extensive, particularly with France and to a lesser extent Germany, and then to a third extent, as it were, Britain. If Greece goes down, there is a big problem for lots of banks in Europe, and I suspect also for banks in the US, perhaps not directly through loans to the Greek government, but clearly anything roiling the finance industry in London will have an impact in New York. So some people in Europe are talking about a kind of a Lehman-style crisis number two, perhaps not quite on that scale, but certainly a great big turmoil, a great big financial earthquake if the thing goes down.
Steve Evans, BBC correspondent in Berlin. Stay with us, Steve. Louise Story, we talked last week about the prospect of a Greek contagion. You even used the term Lehman-style kind of collapse. But I'm wondering if Greece does default here, no matter what the European Central Bank does to try to cover it, whatever bailout package comes out of this, at the very least, this really sort of tears the fig leaf off the whole EU system. It's just fundamentally not working. Is that how the financial markets are looking at this?
Well, you know, the problem is they're really walking a tightrope. You know, it's actually in the European Union treaty that member countries should not have to guarantee the obligations of other countries to their creditors. They designed this on purpose to be a system that was united but also separate. And here we are, Greece really, it looks like, may only be able to get through this if they have major help and maybe guarantees from their brethren. The thing that happened today that is very crucial, already today on Tuesday, Fitch Ratings came out, and they said, if you do any kind of swap in Greek's debt, you know, this is one of the things leaders are talking about now. They'll say,
no funny business, Fitch said.
That's what they said, because the European leaders are saying, well, we'll make a swap in the debt voluntary. And so therefore, it shouldn't be considered a default. And Fitch said, not so fast. Even if it's, you know, a rollover in the debt that's voluntary, we're probably going to consider it a default. And the problem is the European Central Bank owns a lot of Greece's debt. So if Fitch downgrades it big time, then the ECB is in trouble, too.
Right. Steve Evans, what about just sort of de-Europifying Greece, kicking them out and having them go their own way and let the exposure chips fall where it may? Any political support for that?
There is political support on the fringes. The difficulty with that is if you hive off Greece, if you cut it adrift, if you like, from the euro, then it becomes the shrinkable euro. It would be like the United States, that other single currency zone, the United States.
Right.
Somebody said, okay, well, Alabama's not performing economically on a par with California. Why don't we have a separate currency for Alabama? In theory, that might be a good idea. But then you think, well, what about the other states which aren't performing up to those top states? It becomes a movable feast, a shrinkable currency zone, and then nobody quite knows what's going to happen, and the speculators move against everything.
And that's Steve Evans, BBC correspondent, who's in Berlin, where the EU finance ministers are meeting. Also with us, Louise Story, the New York Times. And Louise, that's kind of the question for me, is how much different would people's reaction be, or these meetings would go, if there were no European Union? I mean, to a certain extent, the economies are already so intertwined and interdependent that they'd still have to be doing something or reacting in some way to this crisis going on in Greece.
That's right. But, you know, if there weren't the European Union, the officials from other countries like France and Germany just would not have the sway power over Greece. I mean, right now, because Greece's leaders, for now at least, really want to stay in the union, they've had to bow to a lot of pressure and agree to a lot of cuts that, guess what, their citizens hate. That's why they're rioting in the streets. They do not like these cuts. And if Greece were not part of this, it would be more likely that the political pressure in Greece to not have these cuts on regular people and to instead push the harm off on the bondholders and just default on them and leave them holding the bag, it would be more likely Greece would do that, just like Russia and Argentina did. But they're under a lot of pressure from Europe.
Even with this pressure, the numbers are tough. I mean,
they
with
still might.
2 years, more than 7% shrinkage in the Greek economy. They've cut 5%. Of spending, which is significant, but it's not keeping pace. Steve Evans, before we go, I don't know who's going to be more offended, my friends in Alabama about being compared to Greece or my Greek friends about being compared to Alabama.
Well, I'm sure that neither of them should be offended. I'm sure they're very fine places, but they just don't perform economically as well as some other places.
Yeah,
but
well,
they're both very fine in their own way.
California.
One point I should make.
Yeah, go ahead.
One point I should make is you need to make a distinction between the political idea of Europe, the
right.
European Union, and the Eurozone, the zone which has the euro as a currency. Britain, for example, is firmly in the European Union. It does not have the euro. But the problem is that you can't split the politics from the economics. If the euro goes down the plug, well, then the whole political idea of Europe is also in some difficulty. And the political idea of Europe was to bind Germany particularly into Western Europe, into the transatlantic system after the war. So, okay, you can cut Greece adrift, but it has all kinds of economic consequences,
right.
And that you then start thinking, which way is Germany going to look?
There we go. Steve Evans, BBC correspondent in Berlin. You can say goodbye to Greece. You can't say goodbye to Berlin. You don't want Germany to go its own way. Thanks so much. And Louise Story still with us, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. While we bemoan and get alarmed at the financial misfortunes of the Greek government and its relationship to the Eurozone, we should point out, as Louise Story does repeatedly, that the exposure is all throughout the world. There are holders of Greek debt in China, in Alabama, probably in California, and in Washington, for that matter. Louise Story, though, as time goes on, as we always know, the misfortunes of others are an opportunity for certain financiers to make money. Pressure is building for hedge funds to actually be betting against the euro or against Greece being able to work this out. At what point does that become really apparent?
Well, you know, I was actually just going through all the data on derivatives yesterday. You can see how many, in terms of dollar value, are outstanding. It's just about $5 billion of credit default swaps on Greece's debt. So that means $5 billion would be paid out to investors if Greece defaults.
Now, that's a $5 billion payout on a $17 billion default, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, or the other way to really think about it is Greece has about $500 billion in debt. So about 1% of the value of its debt has been bet against it. But there are a lot of other bets against Greece. When you look at also private entities in Greece and other kinds of more exotic derivatives, it gets up to like $40 billion. And those investors who are betting against Greece, most of those bets were put on over a year ago, more than a year ago. Once the troubles came out about a year ago, it got prohibitively expensive to bet against Greece because it became so obvious to everyone
right.
that they were in trouble. So the investors who will make a lot of money off of this knew there were problems before the rest of us did, and they put these bets on.
Is that smart, or is that insider trading?
Well, it depends how they
right.
knew, of
yeah.
course. You know, there are yes. some people talking about, remember, it came out last year that there were a few banks that helped Greece mask its problems through the use of derivatives. So there have been some people talking about, oh, did those very same banks, when they saw how bad the books were back before the rest of us, did they put them on? But no one knows. That's the thing about derivatives. No one knows who has them. No one knows how concentrated they are. It's a very opaque market.
Give us a sense. And again, I don't want to put you on the spot here, so don't throw anything at me. But how easy would it have been, say, a year and a half ago to make a big bet against Greece? Would it cost you like $1, $100, something like that? And now it's thousands and thousands if you want to do the same thing. Something like that?
Well, it's gone up a lot, but it really went up as soon as last February 2010, when all the problems came out. It got expensive then. It stayed expensive. But, you know, it might have been only a few hundred thousands of dollars to bet against $10 million of Greece's debt about a year and a half ago.
So for $100,000 of 2 years ago, you could have guaranteed yourself a payout of $10 million.
That's right.
If
it would say if they defaulted, you get $10 million for paying $100,000 or $200,000 every year. But now it's like you got to pay $2-2.5 million every year to get paid $10 million if they default. So the odds, when you think of it, the odds have really worsened, and it's much more expensive because everyone knows it's likely they'll default, and so you got to pay more on that bet.
$100,000 for a $10 million payout. That's
pretty good. We should have all been so prescient, John.
Yeah, there you go. Louise Story talking about some of the odd bets looking at the imminent-looking Greek default, the sovereign debt crisis in the European Union and France and Germany, and finance ministers in the EU attempting to come up with a bailout solution. Thanks so much, Louise.
Thank you.